At the chime, the instructor came in. He looked as if he'd been slow-dried over a fire, the color of jerky and not any more extra fat. Lieutenant Commander Euless, his name was.
Escape and evasion. If you're lucky, you'll never need this course. But if you need it and haven't mastered it, you'll be dead. Or worse.
He glanced around the room, then his gaze rested on Baron.
I understand that Ensign Serrano already has experience as a captive, but none at all in escape.
Baron said nothing. The others had turned to look at him.
It is the duty of a captured officer to attempt to escape, is it not, Serrano?
Yes, sir.
Yet you did not.
I did not escape, sir.
Did you even try?
Esme could feel the tension in the room.
Not effectively, sir.
I would have thought a Serrano the equal of a few blood horde thugs. Would you care to explain to the class your mistakes?
Sir, I was careless. I thought the person I saw in the inventory bay wearing a fleet uniform with fleet patches was fleet personnel.
Ah. You expected the blood horde to be fur-clad barbarians carrying swords?
No, sir. But I didn't expect them to be laying an ambush in the inventory bay. As I said, sir, my carelessness.
And precisely how did they capture you, Ensign?
I was climbing an inventory rack. The Deep Space Repair has automated inventory racks, some 20 meters tall, but the machinery had been shut off. Ship regulations required using safety harness and line, so I was clipped into the ladder I was climbing. The parts trays were far enough apart that someone could lie flat in them. When I climbed up that far, I found a gun to my head.
And did you struggle?
Yes, sir. But between the harness and the ones who grabbed my legs and getting knocked unconscious, not effectively.
I see. The lesson here is that a moment's inattention, a brief lapse of caution, can and someday will result in your capture. The ensign thought that he was safe aboard a fleet vessel, even though he knew intruders had penetrated the ordinary defenses. He saw nothing, heard nothing, smelled nothing, felt nothing, and no doubt convinced himself that anything out of the ordinary was the result of the overall emergency situation. Someone else would take care of it. He is lucky to be alive, presumably only because his captors thought he might be useful that way. But the ensign did do something right. Two things, in fact. He stayed alive when it might have been easier to die, and he worked through his post-capture trauma properly, as demonstrated by his reactions just now.
Sir, I don't understand.
Lieutenant Marden, I presume.
Yes, sir.
Kindly identify yourself next time, and haste in this course can get you killed. When you don't understand, wait. Be still. Listen. You might learn something that will save your life.
Everyone was very still. Esme found it hard to breathe. Even Brunn had gone immobile, she noticed.
But since I was going to explain anyway, I will now. Ensign Serrano could no doubt have changed his captor's decision to keep him alive by being too much trouble, while not able to escape. From my understanding, having reviewed his debrief, he had no real opportunity to escape. Therefore, his duty was to stay alive, if possible, by not driving his captors to kill him. This he did, enduring physical abuse without losing control, making no threats, being as passive as possible. Second, he cooperated fully with remedial therapy. Some rescued captives cannot face what they consider the shame of such therapy, although they cannot evade a minimum requirement. They do not cooperate and do not receive the benefit of it. Ensign Serrano, by all reports, and of course most of this is confidential, so I have only the output summary, cooperated completely, and his therapists were convinced that he had no residual psychological complications. Some of you, no doubt, thought I was being rough on Ensign Serrano. Sarcastic, critical. I was. I was testing for myself the validity of the therapist's report before putting him through the trauma of this course, where any unresolved issues might make him a danger to himself and others. He passed my test. The rest of you, we'll just have to see about.
Euless turned to Baron. The back of Baron's neck was no longer flushed.
Ensign Serrano?
Sir.
Congratulations.
Sir.
I presume you've all read the introductory material for this class?
Euless's gaze scanned the classroom. Esme had, as usual, read beyond the introductory assignment, but she judged from the uneasy shifting of some classmates that they had not. Ulyss glanced down at his display.
Lieutenant Terrace, please explain the legal difference between military capture and hostile seizure.
Taris had been one of the Wigglers, seated two down from Esme. She rose to her feet.
Sir, military capture is when a unit surrenders, and hostile seizure is when they're caught off guard.
And the legal situation?
Well, one is surrender, and one is being caught.
Inadequate. I assume you did not read the assignment, is that correct?
Taris looked deservedly wretched.
Yes, sir.
Ulyss looked along the row.
Lieutenant Vericor.
Vericor stood.
Sir, I read it, but I'm not sure I understand. I mean, it's clear when someone is kidnapped from a space station while they're on leave or something, as compared with the surrender of personnel from a damaged ship.
Suppose you were sure that you were facing a situation of hostile seizure. What would be your legal position?
Sir, the code says that I am to attempt escape by any means possible, assisting others to escape.
Yes, and what obligation do your captors have toward you?
If they're signatories to the Atopki Conference, which the Benignity of the Compassionate Hand and the Guerni Republic are, but the Blood Horde are not, they are obliged to provide adequate life support and medical care.
Well enough. Lieutenant Suiza.
Vericor sat down and Esme rose.
Please define Ensign Serrano's situation in terms of the legal issue I've raised.
Sir, although Ensign Serrano was captured on board a fleet vessel, his situation is more like a hostile seizure than military surrender. Since the Blood Horde are not signatories to the Atopki Conference, they acknowledge no obligation to captives under any circumstances, but Familius law still holds them responsible.
Very well.
Ulyss nodded, and Esme sat down. In a few minutes, he had determined exactly who had read the assignment and who had not, and who was inclined to be hasty or foolish. Brunn was one of the latter, not to Esme's surprise. Ulyss had just called on her and found that she had not read the assignment either and had told her it was even more important for her than for the others.
I don't see why.
Ulyss looked at her, a long, considering look.
Even a civilian, Sarah Meager, is expected to abide by the basic courtesies of the class. Please request permission to speak and identify yourself before blurting out your ignorance. Better still, listen a little longer and see if you can learn on your own.
Brun's neck reddened, and Esme could see the tension in her shoulders. But she said nothing more, and Ulyss turned to someone else. Esme could not relax, no matter whose behavior was under his harrow. She almost regretted choosing this class, except that Baron was in it.
The Serrano Legacy, Rules of Engagement, is continued on the next CD.